This is your tech news briefing for Wednesday, January 15th. I'm Kateri Yoakum from the newsroom of The Wall Street Journal in New York. So it looks like the trade war is winding down. China and the U.S. are set to sign phase one of a trade deal today. But on the tech side of things, tensions are still running high. Senior editor Bob Davis will join us to explain the difference between the trade war and the tech war. That's up in a minute. But first, let's check some headlines. Stories out of India and the U.S. have brought the debate over how to balance digital security and public safety back into the spotlight. An Indian court has ordered Google and Facebook-owned WhatsApp to preserve data connected to an attack on a university campus earlier this month. The January 5th attack at one of India's most liberal universities injured 34 people. It was part of an uptick in violence and protests over a controversial new law that would provide a path to citizenship for immigrants of nearly all religious backgrounds except Muslims. The courts ruled that Google and WhatsApp have to save messages, photos, and videos connected to the attack. Neither company has commented, but WhatsApp, which has more than 400 million users in India, has consistently said that messages exchanged on its platform are encrypted and that not even they can access them, much less the government. In the U.S., Attorney General Bill Barr is calling on Apple to help the Justice Department unlock the iPhone of a Saudi aviation student who launched an attack at a Navy base in Pensacola last month. Barr says the data and the communications on the phone could help the DOJ determine whether the gunman was radicalized. Apple says it has been helping, but they stopped short of agreeing to create a backdoor in their products. They say a backdoor for the government could also be exploited by hackers. China and the U.S. are getting set to sign phase one of the trade deal on Wednesday. It marks a de-escalation of the trade war that's been raging between the two countries since last year. But the tech war is continuing to move forward. Here to explain more is senior editor Bob Davis. Bob, thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
So if you were going to just look at this trade deal being signed, you'd think that the U.S. and China are starting to get a little bit more friendly, ease up on the tensions. Why has tech been a sticking point?
Well, tech has a much clearer national security component, and tech is also the issue that drives the two nations apart because it is ultimately, you know, a fight for the leadership of the 21st century, and that'll be defined as much by technology leadership as military or any other kind of leadership.
The name that's really been at the forefront of this, at least in a lot of our reporting, has been Huawei. Why has the U.S. been so focused on Huawei thus far?
Well, a couple of reasons. Huawei is seen as an arm of the Chinese government. I mean, it says it's a privately owned company, but its founder was a senior member of the Chinese military. Frankly, I think any telecommunications company in this country or any other country is pretty beholden to the government. And so I think the government and the Congress think of Huawei as a portal for China to spy on the U.S. Number two is Huawei is the leader globally in the next generation of telecommunications technology called 5G. To the degree that Huawei equipment gets to be the standard for global 5G, they have an enormous platform for being the infrastructure of technology of the 21st century.
As you mentioned, the concerns over Huawei aren't new, and the U.S. has really been pushing back, not just here in the U.S., but also in Europe. What's been the impact on Huawei so far and on the American companies that work with Huawei?
You know, surprisingly, it's been precious little. Huawei's revenues climbed 18% in 2019, despite enormous pressure put on Huawei by the U.S. Its global efforts to make sure that Huawei doesn't become the global standard have largely failed. And the effort by the administration, the successful effort by the administration to put Huawei on a blacklist hasn't had much in the way of effect.
What do you mean they've largely failed? Can you give us an example of that?
Sure. There's a question in India, potentially one of the biggest telecommunications markets in the world. So who are they going to choose? the U.S. has argued against them choosing Huawei, and they've gone ahead and chosen Huawei. That's in a developing country. In Germany, it's the same issue. The Germans believe that they are able to deal with the potential security threats from using Huawei equipment. Just earlier this week, U.S. officials flew to London to lobby British officials who are making a choice about whether to embed Huawei equipment or not. And they've had some successes. I think Australia, you know, decided against Huawei. But by and large, countries have decided to take Huawei equipment, which is considered to be first rate and also considerably less expensive than alternatives.
So at the same time that the Trump administration is about to sign this phase one deal, they're also planning some new actions against Huawei. What are they rolling out?
Well, I mean, this gets to be a little technical, but the short answer is that the U.S. put Huawei on a sanctions list, on a blacklist in May. The idea from that blacklist was that U.S. companies wouldn't be able to supply Huawei with the components and semiconductors that they need, and that would potentially cripple the company because they depend enormously on American technology. Well, what happened was Huawei is such an enormous customer. They buy $10 billion worth of U.S. semiconductors and other components that the companies figured out a way around this blacklist. Essentially, if they shipped from overseas and didn't use much in the way of American components in their overseas production, they were able to ship and supply Huawei in the same way that they did in the past. So I think they largely kept the market share that they had. What the Commerce Department is proposing to do now is to make it much more difficult for American companies overseas, say your Intel in Malaysia, to ship chips or other components, you know, that are derived from American technology but are produced in Malaysia, to ship those kind of components to Huawei.
What kind of impact could that have on the U.S. tech sector?
Well, and on the U.S. tech sector, the question is whether Huawei will say, okay, fine, we won't deal with you guys and we'll buy from, you know, Japanese and South Korean companies. Much of what Huawei buys are pretty standard sort of, you know, computer chips and glass and materials and, you know, one widget or another that goes into their equipment. We're not, generally speaking, talking about, you know, leading technology that has military, possible military uses. So, I mean, for a lot of those, they can go somewhere else. And the concern from industry is that if you push too hard, that's what exactly what Huawei will do. I mean, the new requirements they're talking about would only require a company to get a license to ship to Huawei. And so Commerce could give them a license. But if you're, think of it from the Chinese perspective, if you're Huawei or one of Huawei's competitors, do you want to be subject to the whims of the Commerce Department? I don't think so. So, I mean, the incentive, the enormous incentive is to develop the components yourself or buy them elsewhere.
Let's just take a broader view of this. When we're looking at this phase one deal being signed right now, what does this pushback on the tech sector kind of say about the administration's China strategy overall, kind of this dual effort? And could this tech war at the end of the day, as you said, it's such a huge sector and it could have so many ramifications for the future, could this have an impact on a phase two deal that could be hashed out in the future?
Well, there is a question whether there'll ever be a phase two deal. I mean, the phase one deal basically calls a truce to the trade war and leaves all the really difficult issues for phase two. Issues like subsidies, the behavior of state-owned companies, you know, pressure on U.S. companies to transfer technology against their will. It leaves virtually all those significant issues, which were supposed to be the heart of the trade war, you know, to future negotiations. I mean, you know, in the article, I make a distinction between the trade war and the tech war, but they're really one and the same. I mean, we're talking about trading of technology, and to the degree that the tech portion of the fight becomes more intense, I mean, that clearly will undermine relations generally, or could undermine relations generally, and that would have a broader consequence as to whether the two countries, you know, kind of make up and move ahead together or they don't. And the chances are heavily weighted to they don't make up and they sort of go their separate ways. They can't really go their separate ways, but that they separate.
Senior editor Bob Davis, thanks so much for joining us.
Sure, thank you.
And that was your tech news briefing. I'm Kateri Yoakum from The Wall Street Journal in New York. Thanks for listening.